Bojan Bogdanovic will join us now. Oh, Bojan, thank you very much for coming back to talk to us. We appreciate it. Ron Boone just said, you better enjoy this one because that was quite a fight.
I mean, yeah, they're playing with kind of unusual lineup with the three bigs, so they really hurt us, especially in the first quarter and on the boards. I mean, we kind of didn't run as much we wanted today, but like you said, yeah, and the most important is W to start this road trip well.
One other thing we always talk about is guys should end the night exhausted. You sound tired.
I mean, it was tough. It was a tough match. They had a three for the to win the game. But like I said, it's W. It's pretty important for us at this point.
What offensively were you trying to do because they are so big?
I mean, we tried to shoot as much as three as we could, but like I say, it's unusual. They kind of take you out of your set offenses. Donovan did a great job on a pick and roll, getting hot pretty quick in the first quarter, and then give us like lift to all team.
Well, Bojan, thank you for taking the time
thank
with
you,
us.
Guys.
Catch your breath. Great
yep.
win. Wow, Ron, that was a battle.
I tell you what, we've had two back-to-back ball games that were just unbelievable shooting and very exciting. 137-130 against the Boston Celtics. And then come back tonight against a very tall, very well-coached team.
Yeah, JB's doing a great job.
Yeah.
They are, the Jazz offense finally slowed down in that fourth quarter, by the way. The Jazz finished the fourth quarter with just 18 points scored in that fourth quarter, but they win it 109-108. Tim Lacombe, Jake Scott joining us. Seems like a fun way to spend a Sunday.
Great game. That was a blast.
That just rivaled the game we saw the other night for different reasons. But like the pace, the electricity, and really I thought the majority of that game, I thought the Jazz were dialed in. You could hear, you know, them talking defensively. Guys were really, really into that one and had to be to figure out a way to beat that team. They're playing well.
You know, that team has won four straight, and their last five losses are Phoenix, Brooklyn, Golden State, Brooklyn, Utah. And they lost three of those five losses. I believe four of the five are inside 5 points. Golden State hammered them in the fourth quarter where they really fell apart. The Golden State defense got them. But otherwise, I mean, I think Cleveland's every bit like the next tier of teams right now.
Oh, I totally do, too. I told Jake that. Definitely the best team nobody's seen. And, part of the prep, you watch the film, and watching their game against Washington was just phenomenal. I mean, their effort and energy, and that's what they bring out of teams, because that was the kind of that frantic up and down. But the Jazz handled everything great. Thought the adjustments were really good. They utilized, you know, it's hard playing those seven-footers, but they did a good job of making them have to guard, too.
Let me ask you, Coach, with a lineup like that, would a zone be one of the a defense that could really just make their defense better? Because it's awfully good now, I think, with, you know, because it's hard to get to the rim.
Yeah, I'd wonder that. I mean, I think the way the Jazz and other teams have taken advantage is you get those big guys guarding wings and you get them involved in some not on-ball screens but off-ball, you know, and you get them confused. So maybe putting them in a zone and getting them to stand, that'd be a big, long zone for sure. But, man, I like the energy they play with. JB's doing a great job with them. And, man, the Jazz had to fight to win, but I liked what I saw from the Jazz tonight. Donovan from the beginning was eyes out, five assists at halftime, you know, made that big-time play at the end of the first half to find Joe. Joe didn't hit the shot, but, you know, I just felt like the guys were locked in.
And I think that, you know, what's interesting about this matchup of these two teams, I actually feel like this matchup is difficult for both sides. Like, I think the Jazz present Cleveland as many problems as they can, in the sense the Jazz are so willing to shoot threes, and they have a guy that in the middle is big enough to be able to cause as many problems as, you know, like, frankly, Rudy caused Jared Allen a lot of, you know, Jared Allen caused Rudy a lot of problems, but there aren't many guys who can grab 15 defensive rebounds against that crew. So in many ways, I feel like the Jazz caused Cleveland. And then to all the points we're talking about, Darius Garland on the pick and roll, their size in the glass. You don't want Rudy to go out and switch in a lot of ways because of the fact that if you do, they're crashing the offensive glass. And so you got to keep Rudy near the rim. So the pick and roll becomes harder to guard. I mean, there's just a lot to that game. And I think both those teams actually tax each other at a very high level.
Yeah, I liked your comment early when you said chess match has begun, because that's what it felt like.
In the opening five possessions.
Yeah, for sure. But really good coaches and understanding what their advantage was and what their difficulty was and then trying to play to it.
What were the – I'll have to go back and watch, but we were running a bunch of open side pick and roll, meaning there's nobody on that side of the floor. Nobody's in that corner when you're running that pick and roll. And really got a lot out of it. And then it went away. Do you know, was there a change Cleveland made to that? Was there something?
I didn't sense a change. I felt like the Jazz just got in a real rhythm no matter what they ran until a little bit, they got a little bit no pass possession happy four or five times. And it wasn't like they were awful shots, but it was just, they took some quick ones and didn't make them. And I just felt like they kind of got out of a rhythm, but I didn't see anything Cleveland did in particular.
Can we give Rudy Gobert some whole, whatever you want to call it, a whole bunch of props, from the way he did not score in that first half. Ended up in the ball game. There were 20 rebounds. He had 5 blocked shots, only 6 shot attempts in 38 minutes of play. But the impact that he had on the game is just, it's unreal. He knew he had his hands full with 3 7-footers out there on the floor, and I thought he did a great job.
And he played 38 minutes.
And he gave us one snarl.
Oh, I missed
really?
The snarl.
Didn't see that.
Oh, wait
until
you
see
the snarl. Yeah, after the dunk. That dunk,
dunk
was something
was
else, too.
Oh, the left-handed dunk.
Yeah.
That dunk was pretty vicious. Yeah. That was fabulous.
It was all of Elvis. It was a major snarl.
It was.
Yeah.
But how about the aggressiveness on that play from Rudy?
I thought Rudy was incredibly aggressive all night long.
Yep.
And if there's one thing we've been asking for Rudy is on nights where you're, as Ron was alluding to it, I'm just going to say it. Rudy has a tendency to drift on nights where he's not getting the ball. And he didn't do that at all tonight. Yeah. And understandably, frankly, you ask a guy to sprint the floor all night long and set picks and grab rebounds and you never give him any love, like, at some point it's not that way. Like, great. And Rudy tonight did not get the ball, and they made efforts, but it was really hard, and he did all the hard stuff for 38 straight minutes. And you know what, Ron?
What?
We look at this schedule, we need to understand why the heck we don't play again until Wednesday, but thank goodness we don't play again until Wednesday.
You have to get your voice back for one.
This team's got to be hammered. That game was nuts. I'll tell you guys, as a play-by-play announcer, there were multiple possessions where I just couldn't stay with it. Like, it was too frantic, too many things going on to try to, like, stay with the ball. It was impossible. And that can only happen if the effort and energy on the floor is at peak level.
And that's definitely what we saw. Definitely what we saw.
The Jazz now 7-5 against the East.
Well, that's a good win. This is a hard road trip. We can go get two out of four on this road trip. It'll be just fine.
Yep.
And that's a good one to start the trip with.
All right, guys. Thank you very much. We'll catch you on Wednesday. Enjoy a couple days.
You bet.
All right. There you go. David Locke, Ron Boone. Thriller tonight, this afternoon, whatever. Jazz win 109-108 over the Cavs. We're breaking it down next on the Jazz Radio Network.
Shoot three. Pow!
The clock is at zero, and another Utah Jazz game is in the books. This is the Jazz Postgame Show.
Ingles underhand scoop to Conley. Back out to Joe. Fires the three.
Presented by Mark Miller Subaru.
Donovan skies and hammers.
Now with the recap of tonight's game, here's Jake Scott and Tim LaCole.
Jazz Game Night Postgame Show on the Jazz Radio Network. Jake Scott, Coach Tim Lacombe. Jazz win on the road at Cleveland, 109-108, behind 35 points from Donovan Mitchell on 12-21 shooting, 4-8 from 3. Donovan also had 6 assists and 3 rebounds. Monster game from Rudy. He was 3-6 from the field, Coach, just 6 points. But how about Rudy with 20 rebounds, 5 block shots, 3 assists, and even added a steal. Big game from Rudy. Bogdanovich had 16. Gay added 15 coming in off the bench. Royce had 12. And Mike Conley with 11 and 6 assists and 4 steals for Mike, and not to mention some big-time execution down the stretch from the Utah Jazz. Came out with a hard-fought victory, Coach Lacombe, and this is a fun one to watch.
Yeah, these guys got to be loving life because it's, I guess, what is it back east? It's nearing 6 o'clock. They are done for the night. Don't play till Wednesday, and they won a very, very hard-fought game on the road. I think this is a game where you can look across the box score at every guy's name, and every single guy contributed in a major positive way to that victory. I think it took everybody. You know, there were extra passes that Royce threw and caught, and you know, made big threes. Royce had 4 threes on the night, but each guy contributed in a huge way. The Cavaliers are good. Yep. I think they're you know, they're built right and they play hard. And so it took everything the Jazz had. But tonight, the team really kind of was what won out. I think the Jazz depth and their ability to kind of handle that clutch situation after being, you know, having been in it many times for them to get that win.
How about Darius Garland, man? That dude is a player and fun to watch, by the way. 31 points tonight for him, 5 assists, 4 rebounds. He had 4 steals, 11 of 19 from the field, 5 of 8 from 3, incredibly efficient. And just went out there and made plays. He's going to be a really fun player to watch for a long time.
I'll tell you what, you can take he and Jared Allen and say Evan Mobley. Those are guys you can build around. I mean, those are guys now you start to add pieces to. And they're still obviously in the middle. They've got some veteran guys who are on the tail end with Kevin Love and Ricard Rubio.
Ricard Rubio.
Is his full name. But – no, I think you can see that Garland is kind of the straw that stirs the drink for that team. Had 5 assists, plays at a great pace, and just has his head always in the game. He's always a think in the game. Made 5 threes again tonight.
Jazz come out with a win, hard fought win, good victory. They played well. Fourth quarter, you know, maybe a little bit of a let up with just 18 points, but I thought Cleveland dialed it up in the fourth. I mean, give the Cavs a lot of credit. I thought they went and really poured it out there to get back into the game, and the Jazz did a nice job holding them off.
They did. The Jazz started the fourth quarter great. I mean, they were rolling. The ball was moving. And I'm telling you, sometimes it just gets a little bit – it's funny how fast a game can turn, but it was shot selection in a couple of spots and not one guy. I think, again, it was a couple guys taking one shot, one or no pass possessions, and then – some turnovers that really hurt them and got Cleveland out in the open floor. So it was awesome that the Jazz were able to withstand it, play as well as they did throughout the game, and then finish it off in the end.
Your final tonight, the Jazz win 109-108 over the Cleveland Cavaliers. With that, we will say goodnight to our network stations. Our next broadcast is coming your way Wednesday night. The Jazz are in Minnesota to take on the T-Wolves, a much improved Timberwolves team. That should be a really fun game Wednesday night. Tip-off coming your way, let's see here, let's make sure to get this right, at 6 o'clock. For those of you sticking around with us, we've got sound from the coaches and players, as well as get Coach Lacombe's further thoughts on this one as Jazz win 109-108 on the Jazz Radio Network. Jazz game night post-game show. Jazz Radio Network, Jake Scott, Coach Tim Lacombe. Jazz win tonight over the Cavs, 109-108. Postgame is brought to you by Mark Miller Subaru. The My Subaru Is campaign going on right now. Real stories from real Mark Miller Subaru customers. Share your story for a chance to win prizes. Learn more and share at markmillersubaru.com. Jazz did not get to 111 points, Coach. Did not hit that score big with Arby's. Not quite. 109. They've got to give it to 111 or more for you to get the free roast beef sandwich.
Yeah,
and we'll have to wait till Thursday.
Yeah, and you can't expect the Jazz to feed you every night. I mean, you got to go out and buy your own roast beef from time to time. Support the good people at Arby's.
Yeah, you're here that.
I pull a 5 out and call it good, or 7 maybe.
Nowadays. I love that. We all need to purchase our roast beef sandwich from time to time. Coach Donovan Mitchell had a big night tonight, 35 points, 6 assists, 3 rebounds. Did have 7 turnovers, which might have been an issue a little bit there in the second half, but great play down the stretch.
Yeah, made a couple of big plays, you know, as we're accustomed to in the fourth quarter. But I just thought from the very beginning defensively, Donovan, I heard his voice throughout the game, you know, calling screens out and being locked in. I certainly thought his mindset was to be on attack, but be to let instinct take over. And we talked about his passes that triggered breaks. And, you know, so I think he just continues to get better. He finds ways to improve his game. And I love seeing Donovan with a high assist number, you know, becoming more of a regular thing.
All right, let's hear from the coach, shall we? It's time to hear from Jazz head coach Quinn Snyder in his post game.
Coach, just tonight came down to one stop, and you guys were able to get it. What did you see on the final possession, and what are your thoughts on the way you guys were able to be resilient down the stretch?
Yeah, I mean, the last possession was, you know, collectively, you know, guys just locked in, and you know, got hits on the glass against, you know, a big team going to the boards. You know, it was just a heck of a possession all the way around. And that's but playing defense down the stretch is, you know, is going to win games. And, you know, that's a really good team that we beat. You know, obviously they made plays to get back in the game. I thought we had a chance to bust it open a little bit, and kind of a combination of us getting kind of sloppy, tired. I think we looked tired during the portion, but we've got to, you know, fight through that. And then obviously they made some big shots from three, and Garland, he's really good.
They go on that 15-0 run, as you said. What was kind of the key to weathering that and kind of just regrouping and coming back?
You tell me. Okay. You know, that's something that our team has talked about. You know, I think we all would like to not give up a 15-0 run. But that's one side of it. And then the other side of it is, you know, not, you know, allowing that to you know, to bury you, to, you know, to, as you said, to be resilient and bounce back. I just thought we got more determined. And even, you know, Donovan makes a great drive to the rim, and Mobley blocks it. You know, Boyan's got a great look from three, goes in and out. I mean, there was a number of plays that didn't go our way that would have given us a boost. And, you know, we hung in there and continued to compete. So coming east in an early game against a really good team on the road, it's tough to win games in this league. And particularly with, you know, when we sputtered offensively in the fourth. To just be able to lock in and win. So it's a big win. Yeah, he was dominant, you know. You know, I thought there was a few times he went up strong, and I'd like to see him get to the line more, because I think he's finishing, you know, with a lot of explosiveness right now. He had that one finish where he dunked it over the top of somebody. But he's such a presence defensively, and we've got to make sure we're helping him on the boards. I thought that, you know, there were some long rebounds late that we've got to scoop up. I thought that's when I felt like we were a little bit tired. And, you know, I thought we did have, you know, Royce got a couple good hits just mixing it up on the glass. But Rudy certainly, you know, everybody knows where he is.
You mentioned before the game the challenge.
I thought we did a good job. I mean, I thought, you know, we haven't played that way, small, so to speak, with, you know, with Rudy Gay and Royce and Boyan across the front line. And, you know, I thought particularly in the first half, that group had some rhythm. I thought in the second half, when we got a little bit tired, there's some moments where we were, you know, we were a little discombobulated, so to speak. But by and large, you know, those guys did a pretty good job. It's, you know, matchups are constantly changing. You know, Kevin Love is big, but he's a very different player than Mobley and Allen and Markkanen. So there was a lot going on in that game. From a matchup standpoint, coverages standpoint. So I thought we did a good job.
Going back to that last possession, you mentioned how impressive Garland is Mike being able to stay with such a young and impressive player for that long for possession.
Yeah, I mean, he did a great job. You know, he locked in, and even when he got deep, you know, I thought Mike was really didn't get pushed off his spot. Where, you know, he's got the ability to bump you a little bit and shoot the step back or the floater. Just really, really good defense, one-on-one defense. It's a big play by Mike.
With the sign out, I mean, what did you just think overall of the chance to be able to look at a lineup with Rudy Ochoa?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you never want – you'd like to be at full strength all the time, but, you know, Rudy Gay – knows how to play, and you know there were a few times we were able to space the floor and you know open the lane. And that's where I thought we didn't quite communicate well enough. We weren't as connected enough in the second half with some of those spacing situations. But we'll get there. You know, some of that again has to do with, you know, who's guarding you. And Kevin Love was up blitzing, hedging. So I thought, you know, again, for to be thrown into that. You know, on short notice, so to speak, and that those guys, it's something we've looked at and talked about, but obviously the only other time we've had that situation was when, you know, in OKC when Hassan was ejected.
This is a minor thing, but just for my own curiosity, we didn't see the short stretches tonight where we had Trent coming in. I was wondering kind of what that is.
Well, I think the first quarter ran so long, you know, that we were able to I don't know how long Donovan stayed in the first quarter. I think he played the whole first. So we weren't able to get Mike in. So then Mike's able to play longer and not have that spell. I had Trent at the table at one point, and then, you know, the same thing happened. The clock just kept going on. So we were able to get Mike back in. And, you know, Trent's been terrific. It has nothing to do with him. Just the way the game went. You know, he's come in and had a, you know, really had a great impact defensively, which, you know, tonight, you know, having him take some pressure off Mike and Don guarding Garland would have been good, but just the way the game evolved.
There you go. Jazz head coach Quinn Snyder as the Jazz come away with win 109-108. Coach Combe, thoughts on what we heard from Coach Snyder there?
You know, the observation coming out of that timeout, they had to get one stop. And, you know, as a coach, and I know you put a scheme together, but so much of that play had to do with what happened after the ball was shot. I thought the Jazz handled switches and communicated, kept the ball in front of them. And then when that ball was shot, it was on. And that's a big team going to the glass. I think his comment there that he was really proud of the guys for getting blockouts and cleaning that up. You know, it's a great way to win a basketball game, and I think you can get a lot of mileage out of that, you know, having that kind of outcome.
Speaking of the glass, seems like a convenient excuse to get to tonight's Master of the Glass, brought to you by Safe Light Auto Glass, a local vehicle glass expert here for another great year of basketball and proud to be the preferred auto glass partner of the Utah Jazz. Safe Light Auto Glass is also proud to present this year's Master of the Glass rebound program. At the end of the regular season, Safe Light will donate $5 to a charitable organization for each rebound secured by this year's team rebound leader. Tonight's Master of the Glass,
Mr. Rudy Gobert.
Rudy Gobert, monster night on the glass. 20 rebounds for Rudy tonight. 5 offensive rebounds to go along with his 5 block shots and 6 points. So Jazz overall out-rebounded by 1 by Cleveland, 47-46, but certainly a nice night on the boards. Got rebounds when they mattered the most, for sure.
And the Jazz were small, you know, for them. But again, I sit and watch that lineup and think, all right, Clippers, bring it on this year. Go ahead and switch us and do all that stuff. We got Rudy Gay now. And Rudy Gay was huge tonight. But I just wanted to give one thing to what David said. I think it's true, he and Ron. I think it shows a ton of growth that Rudy just kept playing tonight. You know, he didn't have any points at halftime, but he hung with it. And he just went out there and made winning plays. And it's nice to see him do that. I was so happy to see him get that ferocious dunk at the end.
That was awesome.
That was fun.
Postgame is brought to you by Mark Miller Subaru. The My Subaru Is campaign features real stories from real Mark Miller Subaru customers. Subaru owners are diverse and each has a unique story to share. Read some and share your own. MySubaruIs.com. Jazz win in Cleveland tonight, 109-108. We'll get you some player sound coming up next on the Jazz Radio Network. Jazz Game Night postgame show on the Jazz Radio Network. It's brought to you by Mark Miller Subaru, featuring the My Subaru Is campaign. Real stories from real Mark Miller Subaru customers. Share your story for a chance to win prizes. Learn more and share at markmillersubaru.com. Jake Scott, Tim Lacombe with you. 109 to 108 is your final. The Jazz beat the Cleveland Cavaliers. Let's get a look at your points in the paint, brought to you by Serta Pro Painters. Call 1-800-GO-SERTA or visit SertaPro.com. That's Serta with a C. Serta Pro Painters, proven and trusted experts in painting. Tonight's points in the paint. Let's see here. Cleveland outscored the Jazz 48-38. Garland seemed to be taking it, Rudy, or trying to anyway, for a big chunk of tonight's game.
You know, the big piece of this game, Cleveland does a great job at, of course, guarding the rim, but they also do a good job of taking away threes from teams. They're sixth best in the NBA at taking away threes, and the Jazz certainly exposed that tonight, did a good job of attacking something that they're typically strong at, and I think it had something to do with the way the Jazz moved the ball screen around and ended up getting a lot of corner threes tonight. I think they took 20% of their threes from the corner. So whatever it was a nice wrinkle, but not something I think the number that Cleveland gives up, you know, they only give up about 34 threes per game, and the Jazz were able to get 48 and end up making, having another really good shooting night, making 20 again tonight.
All right, let's get some player sound rolling. Excuse me. Let's go back to Cleveland. It's time now to hear from Donovan Mitchell.
Do whatever needs to be done to get one stop. You know, they had a bunch of plays they could have came out with, you know, so for us, it's like, just be solid. You know, they set a screen, switch. If you want to get over it, fight over it. Like, but just be solid and rebound the ball. Like, you know, I can't say, you know, it may look on the stats, it may look like, you know, they definitely got a lot of offensive rebounds, but we worked, you know, we competed and trying, but at the end of the day, when you have 3 7-footers down there and it's me, Mike, Royce, and Bojan or whoever, you know, I mean, it's tough, you know, and we were able to, the last possession, you know, Rudy's down there grabbing 20 of them, which we needed. Roy's down there competing. Like, that was what we did at the end of the game. And sometimes you can do, we did some things wrong, you know, but we did some things right as well. And sometimes it's just about competing. This could have easily gone the other way after a 15-point or 18-0 run or whatever, but we locked in, we did what we had to do. And that's what good teams do. It's not always going to be pretty.
Mike, on that last possession, knocked out Garland. And it felt like it went on forever. He was
having
to, like, go
deep and come back out. Yeah, and as he shot it, I'm just like, you know, you flash back to the past, was it two, in New Orleans and Memphis, you know. But like I said, Mike did a great job the last session, you know, communicating. They came up, tried to set it with Lauri Markkanen, getting over that screen, you know, being able just to compete. That's all it is, just being competitors. You know, it doesn't matter what happens for those 47 minutes, that last minute, we really did a lot of things, you know, right execution wise. And they hit some shots, but, you know, when it's time to lock in, and, you know, sometimes it's just a matter of will over anything else.
What can you say about a guy like Rudy, who, despite, you know, scoring 6 points, mm-hmm.
Yeah, impacted the game in a major way. You know, I think that's what he does for us. Obviously, we all know he's our defensive anchor, but, you know, being there on the glass, we're getting the ball, we're getting outlets, we're running. In a game where Hassan's not playing, so it's really a lot of it, I wouldn't say solely on him, but a lot of that pressure is put on him, and he rose to the occasion on the glass for us. And, you know, that's why he is who he is. And, you know, biggest thing I told him was just when you get the ball finished strong and you see what he did the last possession, like I said, you know, it's a matter of will in those possessions. And when it mattered most, he got probably his most important offensive rebound and then the finish after, which really, I think, changed a lot.
You mentioned that big run they had in that fourth quarter. What's kind of the process of regrouping after that's happened? Or even during when that's happened?
Understanding where our mistakes lie, understanding, you know, there are a few times they got open looks. You know, some guys who aren't necessarily shooters hit shots, so that plays into it too. But, you know, coming to the huddle and just regrouping, you know, and just being like, look, all right, this is what happened. You know, addressing the problem and then find a way to fix it, you know, and just being patient and, you know, I think the biggest thing is, you know, when you got Garland, you know, being taught by Ricky Rubio, that helps, because I know firsthand, you know, Ricky's a hell of a teacher, but Garland's a hell of a player, and, you know, he's going to be real special. Talking trash to him the whole game, and, you know, he's one of those guys that can talk right back and just you know, joyful. You know, I respect his game. I will say that I respect his game and the way he plays. But, you know, for us, just understanding that we got to come in and, you know, just regroup. We have a bunch of vets, guys who've done this, who've it's happened. 18-0 runs have happened for them in the playoffs for us. You know what I mean? So this was a regular season game, understanding that this didn't happen. You know, like Rudy Gay's seen it, Mike's seen it, Joe's seen it. We've all seen it. So just finding ways to regroup. Because like I said, it could have went the other way and they could have kept going, but we found a way to stop it.
This was our first time we get to be kind of by the bench, so we can really hear and see you guys interacting. How would you rate the level of communication and organization compared to other teams you played on? Because to me, an outsider, it looks exceptional how you guys fix and communicate stuff.
You know, I think with us, it requires a lot of communication, what we do. I don't think a lot of teams, you know, whether it's on offense or defense, do what we do. I think we have a complex game plan on both ends, and I think it's to our advantage because we have such a tight-knit group. We can speak, we can talk, and continue to make adjustments on the fly. We have smart players as well. You know, a lot of that goes into it as well. So guys who understand how to make those adjustments, and then when you have vets, like I said, guys who've seen it and done it on a bunch of occasions, you know, just continuing to have that communication. And then, you know, for us younger guys, you know, like I said, we're playful, but we're also, you know, we're eager and hungry to learn and hungry to continue to help team out, you know, whether it's playing, not playing, communicating, you know, we all want to help.
You mentioned Darius's involvement with Ricky. Where else do you kind of see Ricky's fingerprints over this thing?
I think it plays into what I said about us, you know, regrouping after a timeout. You know, we went up 15. And I don't know if you guys saw, but he goes right in the huddle and starts communicating to guys what he sees, what he does. Ricky and Ed, you know, I know them because they play with us. I know they have Ed's talking to Darius while I'm guarding him the whole time, like trying to pump him up and whatnot. But also Ricky comes in the game and it's like, you know, he kind of runs things. He understands when to pick his spots, when to attack, how to find guys. He made my job a hell of a lot easier when he was here. You know, just being able to just see and feel the game. He's helped me with that too. And I can see how he's helping, you know, Darius with that as well. You know, I think the most impressive play I think he made, talking about Darius, was the pass he had to Mobley. You know, most guys when they have it going in the fourth, just take it one-on-one and try and go. But he made the extra pass. And, you know, I'm not going to give all this credit to Ricky, but I can kind of assume that was Ricky right there, just being able to, you know, understand the flow of the game. And he's teaching him, and you see it. You know, he's seeing Ricky has a, I think he made a joke about this beginning of the year. He has a track record of, helping guards out, myself, but Darius, Collins. So he's got a pretty good track record.
You guys got, with Hassan out, you got another small ball, which was the five. Tough night to do it against a team of 3 7-footers.
What
did you see out
there? We did some things right, you know, but it's not going to just click overnight. It's something we got to continue to work on. And like you said, it's tough on a night where, like you said, there's 3 7-footers, but, you know, there's things that are definitely fixable, things that are very easy to fix. You just got to come with practice time and come with feeling it throughout the game. And, you know, also on the offensive end, being able to feel out what we want to do and being able to kind of attack and get in the gaps and guys spacing, rolling versus popping. You know, I haven't played with a popping big my whole career. So now being able to adjust to that, you know, being able to understand, have Rudy understand, Rudy Gay, that is, or EP, understand and hit in the pocket and make plays, because Royce and I have the connection. So it's just a matter of figuring each other out on the offensive end, and defensively, it's just reps. I think we did a good job, though.
Speaking of offense, Bill, 15 points in the first quarter. What enabled you to kind of just get going?
Just being aggressive. When you have a team that's as tall, you know, as they are, you know, instead of attacking that straight from half court, you know, getting out in transition, making quick decisions, you know, making them have to guard you here as opposed to using their size. And that's tough when we're stagnant at times, but just trying to push the pace, get going, and, you know, shots were falling. So that helps too.
There is Donovan Mitchell. Donovan was brilliant tonight. 35 points, 6 assists. He also had 3 rebounds, but very efficient. 12 of 21 from the field, 4 of 8 from 3. Heard him talk about playing with Ricky Rubio, talked about the last possession. A lot of interesting stuff from Donovan.
Yeah, Donovan, to me, I told you this during the game, it looks like he's having a lot of fun playing the last little bit. He's smiling a lot more, and I don't know, you know, if there was any kind of anything that caused that, but he looks like he's really, really locked in, but at the same time, and playing at a high level, but also having a good time doing it. Again, I think it's really important how much of a leadership role he's taking. I loved hearing his voice out there, as I mentioned, on the defensive end. Yeah, really, really nice game from Donovan, and I thought some pretty insightful things as well, he said.
Yeah, and Donovan has put together a string of games here, Coach, that has just been great. I mean, if he was having some sort of shooting issues before the last three games, he has had no problem whatsoever as he's been over 30 points in all three.
I think it's – I mean, I really do think it's a byproduct of this team moving the basketball. 24 assists again tonight. You know, I think now that shots are starting to fall across the board, you know, the ball's moving a little more freely. But Donovan – you know, that stuff's contagious, and I think the way he's sharing it and finding guys, you know, to get easy baskets is going a long way with his teammates.
All right, let's get some more postgame sound rolling. Let's go back to Cleveland and hear from Mike Conley.
I knew it was going to come to him, and I've known JB as a head coach for a while, and I knew that there was going to be some kind of a slip and him getting downhill to his right, and you played it right, got him to, you know, turn his back and kind of pick up the ball. And I knew when he gave it up, he's going to come back and get it. So just tried to chase him and, you know, apply pressure as much as possible and saw the time running down and tried to stay up as high as I could, because I know that at some point he's going to have to shoot this ball, and however deep he is, I just want to be there to contest it. And luckily he missed it. And, you know, at that point, it's all about the guys in the trenches. And, you know, obviously I was at half court almost, and, you know, Rudy, Royce, Don, all those guys down there battling really saved the game, because they could easily have tipped it in, and, you know, had there not been too many bodies down there. So
when you're, I mean, the last possession like that, when it all comes down to kind of just one defensive stop, 17 seconds is not a long time, but does it feel like it's kind of an eternity that you're out there just chasing Darius around?
Yeah, it's a long time. It is a lot of time in the NBA game. So then with a guy like him who's patient and takes his time and really picks when the, you know, the right spots to attack and be aggressive, you never know when it's going to be. So I told him it was like playing against myself there for a little bit, some of the stuff he was doing. So it was a good challenge for me and the team trying to, you know, finish the game out and close it.
Make you feel a little bit younger.
Yeah. That made me feel older.
Well, what's it like, I guess, preparing for a final offensive possession versus a final defensive possession like that?
They're very similar, the same. You know, obviously offensively, you're thinking about executing a plan, a play, getting guys in the right spots and stuff like that. And defensively, it's about knowing the possibilities. Like, they could do this, they could do that. We've seen two or three different plays they like to run, and we might have two or three different coverages for both. So communication at that point in the game is huge. And at the end of the day, it's going to be a mano a mano, you know, you got to win your matchup kind of thing, because it normally comes down to that. And guys just really fought and did a good job of, you know, guarding and finishing the possession.
Rudy went 6 points back, but 20 rebounds, 5 blocks. That's an incredible thing. What can you say about, you know, seeing like this?
Oh man, we're lucky. We're lucky to, you know, have that luxury, and a guy like that who is so selfless. And like you said, he doesn't need to score points to affect the game and dominate a game. And tonight, he even had opportunities when he caught the ball in the paint to go up and try to score when he hadn't had a few opportunities. Instead, he chose to make a play and make an extra pass to a corner for a wide open three. And not a lot of bigs would do that. And defensively, we know what he brings, and his, you know, we build everything around him, and he cleans up so much for us, and I mean, he's just been huge.
See, we know that Rudy, you know, likes to be involved offensively, and sometimes on a night where it's not happening so much. The play like that offensive rebound, and that down the stretch where it's that one, you know, meet the words, you see the commotion come out there.
Yeah, you can tell when a play like that happens. You know, a guy like Rudy, who, you know, he does want the ball, he does want to finish, he does want to, you know, score points and have dunks and stuff. But when he's kind of been, when the teams are scheming against that, not allowing that to happen,
and to get one finally at the end of a game in a big part, I think it just gets them amped up and even more motivated for the other end of the floor. And that's what he does. You know, that's what he does.
What, you guys went up 15 in the fourth quarter and then
It was, you know, turnovers were an obvious thing. We had some opportunities there to push the lead up, but, you know, they made a lot of plays for those turnovers. They, you know, they were getting really aggressive and started gambling, and we weren't as solid and strong with the ball at certain points in the game. And seems like when teams get a flow like that and a rhythm, they don't miss, you know, miss anything. They started making threes, they started making layups, and it's hard to guard and transition when you turn the ball over and they're getting easy ones. So I think it just kind of ignited them a little bit, got the crowd back into it. And, you know, coach made a good substitution at that point and we calmed it down a little bit. And that group got in there and kind of took control and kind of got the game back to where we needed to be and allowed us to finish it.
That's Mike Conley. And man, Mike, isn't he just steadily good, giving the team whatever they need at the best possible moments. Mike, 11 points, 6 assists, 4 of 9 from the field, 3 of 5 from 3. Don't think his stat line did his game justice tonight.
He's made so many big shots in the last little while. Just looking at his last 10 games, he's shooting 52% from 3. And, you know, he made big shots tonight and really – you know, Mike is such a threat too, just to drive the ball, but most importantly, he just kind of keeps everybody even out there. I think the key to Mike's success has been his consistency. He's a very, very consistent player that's always focused on the team. And certainly that's a great quality to have as a point guard.
I want to remind you about the Utah Jazz Most Valuable Educators Program presented by Instructure, the makers of Canvas. Throughout the season, the Utah Jazz and Instructure will recognize 21 MVEs. Each one will receive a visit from the Utah Jazz Bear, a $1,000 grant, a personalized jersey, and tickets to see a jazz game in a suite. Go to NBA.com/jazz/MVE to nominate your favorite educators right now. Jazz win. They beat the Cavs 109-108. Post game is brought to you by our friends at Mark Miller Subaru. And the My Subaru Is campaign, featuring real stories from real Mark Miller Subaru customers. Subaru owners are diverse, and each has a unique story to share. Read some stories and share your own at MySubaruIs.com. We'll have more coming up next on the Jazz Radio Network. Jazz Game Night Postgame Show. Jake Scott, Coach Tim Lacombe. Postgame brought to you by Mark Miller Subaru, featuring the My Subaru Is campaign. Real stories from real Mark Miller Subaru customers. Share your story for a chance to win prizes. Learn more and share at MarkMillerSubaru.com. Jazz win tonight in Cleveland, 109-108. Let's get a look at your Chick-fil-A foul shot review of the game. Download a whole new way to Chick-fil-A. Earn rewards with the Chick-fil-A One app. Let's see foul shots tonight. Jazz went to the line, didn't take a ton, Coach. 9 of 10, 10 attempts for the Utah Jazz tonight, only missed one. And the Cavs, 10 of 13. And it did feel like the referees were letting them play a little bit more tonight.
That's another piece. Cleveland actually is the best team in the league at guarding without fouling. You can imagine having all that size is quite a luxury. But so that's not something that teams typically get. And the Jazz, you know, kind of countered that with getting more threes.
And, yeah, the Jazz were, from three tonight, 20 of 48. So you certainly take that 41, almost 42%. Cleveland tonight from three, 14 of 38. So they still shot the ball all right. I came away pretty impressed with the Cavs after tonight's game, to be honest.
I did, too. This weekend was pretty educational for me. You know, started watching them yesterday and just thought, holy smokes. Like, they look different than most teams that are out there kind of up and coming. I see really good things as long as they can keep the nucleus of that team together.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, I said this a couple times in the postgame, but Darius Garland is a player, and he is fun to watch. Jared Allen, you and I both like him. You mentioned you combine Allen, Garland, and Mobley, and that's the kind of the foundation to build a franchise. And that's exactly what I kind of thought about Cleveland. It's like watching the Jazz before Donovan got here, when Gordon Hayward and Rudy were kind of turning the franchise around. It had that feel to it where you've got the, And, you know, of course, you take out Hayward and insert Donovan, and the Jazz kept it rolling, and the rest is history. But that rebuilding team that has a couple of pieces to build around, and they just have to find the right guys around them. It feels like they've got a good coach in Bickerstaff, and those three players at least are going to provide a pretty solid foundation for this club.
I mean, I'm going back to look at that draft. I mean, you look at the top. So Zion's taken in that draft, John Morant. Garland was taken fifth. And, man, I remember when they called his name, because I just didn't know a whole lot about him. I'd read, you know, certainly the things that are published and seen him play a couple times. But, yeah, they got a great player in that young guy. He affects the game in so many different ways, but I just like his mindset. Like Donovan said, he's out there talking trash, and he's dishing it right back to him, but able to maintain a really high level through it all.
Let's get some more post-game sound. Let's go back to Cleveland, and let's now hear from Rudy Gobert.
I mean, I think every night there's an opportunity to work on a lot of different things. And, you know, and every – we saw it earlier in the season, every NBA team is capable of beating you in those close situations. So it's really on us to kind of, like, focus on the moment and try to – just try to do what we think is best at that moment. And then sometimes there are things that you're not going to be able to control, but just put all the chances on our side. And I think that's what great teams are able to do. You know, end of the game, like you're locking even more, your physicality goes up, your communication should go up. And if you need to get a rebound, you got to go get it. If you need to get a block, you got to go get it. And, if you need to score, you got to find a way to get a good shot and get a bucket. So it's, I think that's what great teams are able to do.
Can you take us through the last possession from your vantage point?
Did I take what?
The last possession from your vantage point. And what did you see on it?
I think we did a great job. You talk about the last missed shot.
Yeah.
I thought it was great defense. You know, I was ready to help. But you know, Mike, everybody did a great job. You know, Garland was playing really, really well, and he tried to attack, and he hit Mike with a fake, and Mike was able to recover, and he didn't bite to the fake. He was back on him. And then we pretty much forced them into a tough shot that he can make, but we knew that – I kind of knew that after Royce before he was going to come down to a defensive rebound, so we just had to go and get that rebound and don't let them get a tip in or – offensive rebound, kick out three, and we did a good job fighting for that.
Did you, like you and Royce were saying that either in the huddle or when you were going back out on the floor?
Yeah, when we were right before the play, I told Royce we gotta get that rebound. You know when you lose games because of offensive rebounds or you know, stuff like that, it hurts. So you I know that in those situations the rebound is really the key. If Garland makes a shot, he makes a shot. That's an amazing play. But we know that we're going to try to make it hard on him, and then we have to get that rebound.
Speaking of rebounds, Hassan not out tonight. They've got a lot of big guys on their team. And, I mean, you're battling down there. You have 20 rebounds. What does it feel like sort of you were fighting through the trees all night to be able to get those?
I mean, I knew that, especially with the way they play, they start with 3 7-footers. I don't think it is the only team right now that's doing that. So I knew that I was going to have to hold it down even more. And Hassan's belly sore, so he couldn't play tonight. And, yeah, I knew it was going to be bottom, you know, and I tried to wear the best, you know, be there, protect the basket. And once we've done that, we got to get those rebounds. You know, everybody, I think the guys did a great job fighting. You know, Bojan, Royce, Donovan, everyone did a great job fighting them and you know, not let them get the position. And then, you know, I have to go and sometimes make plays and get it.
What does it mean to you that you can play a game like this and only take 6 shots in 38 plus minutes to manage to kind of dominate the way you did?
I mean, I love to win, so I do whatever it takes to win when I'm on the court. I'm not saying that I enjoy not touching it, but you know, no matter what, I'm gonna do what it takes to try to impact the game and help my team win. Do I want? Oh yes, you know. Do I think? Yeah, of course. But I can't be complaining on the court. Like I just got to keep playing the game, keep helping my team. And, you know, and some games it's never going to be perfect, you know, and you got to find ways to win those games and make sure I'm there for my teammates regardless.
That said, you grabbed that offensive rebound off of Royce to miss just under 2 minutes and be able to throw down. But the way the night went, does that make that kind of play like that much sweeter? What's the emotion going through you at that moment?
I mean, the rebound is one way to get the ball, so I just go, you know, when we went, it's funny because when we play the right way and we move the ball, like, it's easier for me to get those rebounds. And I thought it was a great offensive possession. You know, Roy's got a wide open three, and I was able to get a good position on the rebound and just play with my instinct, you know, and I know that. Jared Allen is a great shot blocker, so I had to go up strong, and I did.
There you go, Rudy Gobert, who was great tonight, and he had a great line right there. You know, rebounding is another way to get the ball, because Rudy didn't take a ton of shots tonight, and he had a tough matchup. Cleveland's big team, he was 3 of 6, he had 6 points. But what a way to impact a game, 20 rebounds and 5 block shots. In fact, shout out to our good man Ben Anderson. I'm trying now to scroll back to his tweet. Here we go. Ben Anderson, KSLSports.com, covers the Jazz. Rudy Gobert with his first ever 20-rebound, 5-block game. He's the first Jazz man to do it since Greg Ostertag in 2003. Mark Eaton did it 5 times in his career. And Eaton actually, and Ben dug this up, had a triple-double, 12 points, 14 blocks, and 20 rebounds.
14 blocks.
What a monster
game.
For a
remarkable mark.
That's amazing. And he had those 12 points on 1 of 12 field goals in one game, so he must have gone to the line a lot that night.
Wow. Yeah. Rudy made a great observation. He actually threw this in right after saying rebounding is a great way to get the ball. But he said when we play right, it's easier for him to go to the glass. And, you know, it really is. If you take basketball and just pare it down to a numbers game, on offense, all you're trying to do is get 2 on the ball. And anytime you can get 2 on the ball, you understand you've got space and somebody out of position. When shots are taken, when the ball's moving around like that, Rudy's got a free run at the rim a lot of times, as opposed to when everybody's squared up and somebody just drives their guy and there's not a lot of movement. And so, you know, Rudy made a great point there. I just like the way he stayed engaged throughout the entire game, you know, and I think he did because he said there at the end, winning's the most important thing, he wants to win.
And I think when his – well, I think Rudy is less unhappy about his touches when the Jazz are playing right. You know, when the ball is moving and he's been putting in advantageous positions. Listen, Rudy had a tough matchup tonight. I mean, it was going to be a tough slog for him. And they were going to leave Allen by the rim and they're going to drop the bigs and it would make life difficult for Rudy. So find another way to go out and dominate the game. And I don't use that word lightly. I thought Rudy dominated a lot of aspects of tonight's game, even though it wasn't necessarily getting lobs at the rim or scoring a bunch of points.
It's a perfect observation. I think if, you know, kids, you're listening at home, he took 6 shots, but he did. He dominated the game. His effort, his presence just on the offensive and defensive end, you know, really were the things that made the Jazz, everything for the Jazz work. So a great point. You can dominate the game and only take 6 shots.
And I think Rudy did just that. Jazz win tonight 109-108 over the Cleveland Cavaliers. Postgame is brought to you by Mark Miller Subaru and the My Subaru Is campaign featuring real stories from real Mark Miller Subaru customers. Subaru owners are diverse and each has a unique story to share. Read some and share your own. MySubaruIs.com. We'll get Coach Lacombe's final thoughts on this one coming up next on the Jazz Radio Network.
Offensive rebound, Gobert spins back the lane, goes to the rack! And absolutely packed it with a left hand of viciousness. And the Jazz lead at 109-106. Ho-ho, Rudy!
Viciousness. There's your play of the game, brought to you by the Larry H. Miller Dealerships for service, sales, and selection. LHMauto.com. Driven by you. Our good friend David Locke on the call as the Jazz win 109-108 over the Cleveland Cavaliers. Postgame is brought to you by Mark Miller Subaru, featuring the My Subaru Is campaign. Real stories from real Mark Miller Subaru. Customer, share your story for a chance to win prizes. Learn more and share at markmillersubaru.com. Good win for the Jazz tonight. Cleveland played tough. Jazz held on for the win. 109 to 108, as I mentioned. Big night from Donovan, 35.6 assists, 3 boards. And Donovan was terrific going head-to-head. Darius Garland seemed like, especially in the first half, they were just going back and forth. 7 turnovers, though, from Donovan. 17 total turnovers, coach, from the Jazz. Something to be concerned about, or just something that, you know, Donovan was playing hard and stuff happens?
I think, you know, there's a couple of times where it maybe take one too many dribbles or throw it when somebody's not quite ready. There's going to be a handful, but I think the Jazz have handled turnovers a little bit better. Certainly, you know, tonight when Cleveland made their run, that's kind of when they stood out the most. But I like Donovan trying to make plays for others, and, you know, if some turnovers come along the way, he'll shore that up.
Let's see, other Jazz players, 16 from Bogdanovich, 15 from Rudy Gay to go along with 8 rebounds. He had a block, a steal, and an assist as well. No Hassan Whiteside tonight, and Rudy Gay was really, really good.
He was time machine Rudy Gay. He was
yes,
that good.
He was.
I mean, seriously, we looked at each other 3 or 4 times during that first half. His energy and effort were terrific. He was great on the offensive glass, had 5 offensive rebounds tonight. So was a great fill-in, was able to kind of play that hybrid spot, and certainly teams want to go small. The Jazz have a little different answer this year.
For the Cavs, Garland and Allen were really good tonight. 31 from Darius Garland. What a fun player to watch play. 11 of 19, 5 assists. He had 4 rebounds as well. And Jarrett Allen, 17 points, 11 rebounds, 3 block shots, as he was just a monster. And how about Ricard Rubio? You may know him as Ricky, with 15 points coming in off the bench, 4 boards and 2 assists. And Donovan Mitchell talked a lot in the postgame here, Coach, about Ricky kind of leaving an imprint on these teams and doing the good veteran job of bringing up the young players.
And interesting, the guys that he's tutored. You know, he talked about, you know, his time with Devin Booker in Phoenix, and then Donovan. Certainly some different type players, but Ricky seems to be the type of guy that is great in a locker room. Certainly helps so much. You know, a couple of plays down the stretch, missed a couple threes, and I was glad that he didn't, you know, for old time's sake, kick one in. But he's a guy who, you know, has been a very solid piece of many good teams, and it's nice to see Ricky out there doing well.
Yeah, absolutely. And he plays the game right. And we talked about this in the pregame show. If he was a real prolific shooter, I mean, he'd be a multi-time All-Star because his defense, his effort, leadership, court vision, ball handling, all the
check
stuff.
All those, yeah.
It's all there. And no doubt that there are plenty of teams that want Ricky Rubio on their roster.
Yeah, he's a team-first guy. And, man, like I talked about with Mike Conley, there's a lot of overlap between the qualities that make Ricky great and the qualities that make Mike great. We talked about dominating a game in Rudy's fashion by being, you know, great on the glass and around the rim. There's a way you can dominate a game too by just being the guy, you know, who's always going to make the right play, because you get confidence from your teammates in that for sure.
All right, Coach Lacombe, let's get some final thoughts from you on this one.
Well, I thought it was as good a win as the Jazz have had. I thought they faced a hot team that certainly has a unique way of playing. But with all that said, the Jazz did kind of like what they did to Boston the other night and Portland. They were able to get the ball moving. They end up tonight with a 116 offensive rating, which is, again, 8 points above league average. In their last 4 games, if you count this one, 116. Today against Boston, a 137. Portland, a 137. And the New Orleans Pelicans, a 132. It's all kind of coming together. And we said when they start making shots, everything's going to look different, and I think that's what we're seeing right now.
Yeah, and the shots they're getting, and it seems like they're back to playing Jazz basketball, even in tough matchups. And, you know, I feel like a broken record. We've been saying this all night, but you know, the Cleveland team is a good team. They're gonna win a lot of ball games you maybe think they shouldn't, based on reputation and what you see on paper.
If you had to guess right now, if I said I'm holding your feet to the fire, does Cleveland make the playoffs this year?
Today, I'd say yes.
I agree. Because I'm telling you, man, that team plays hard. If they can play that hard every night, they'll get the advantage over a team that maybe tries to edge their way in.
And you mentioned the draft class. So I'll tell you what, Zion and Ja may suck a lot of air out of the room, and they're both great. Don't get me wrong, but man, Darius Garland, that guy, he's going to be an all-star before too long.
Best player nobody talks about.
Seriously. All right, we want to say a big thanks to David Locke and Ron Boone for doing a great job calling the game tonight. Thanks to our broadcast assistants. They always do fine work. Thanks to Brian Priest and Jeff Carroll. We had both of them tonight doing a great job running the ship for us.
I thought they were fair tonight. I thought they did a fine job.
Just fair?
Is that better, Brian? No, fine. You did a fine job, fairly. Thanks, very fair.
I think that's reasonable.
Thanks to Mark Miller Subaru, the title sponsor of the post-game show, the My Subaru Is campaign featuring real stories from real Mark Miller Subaru customers. Subaru owners are diverse and each has a unique story to share. Read some. Share your own. MySubaruIs.com. And Coach Lacombe, thank you, buddy. It's been fun hanging out on a Sunday.
Been great. Awesome to have you and my daughter here today.
Hey, it was fun to have a new member of the crew tonight.
And she swore me to not make her say anything, but I'll just say, you can't see this on the radio, but you can nod your head. Did you have fun? Okay.
All right. That's a nod. If she had shook her head no, we'd...
She's like her dad. She's afraid of the microphone.
109 to 108 is your final. The Jazz beat the Cavaliers. Jazz now travel to Minnesota, to Minneapolis. Take on the Timberwolves. That game will be on Wednesday night. Tip-off is at 6 o'clock. Pre-game coverage will begin at 5. And, of course, you'll hear it all right here on the Jazz Radio Network.